Welcome to The Good Stuff with the Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President and CEO of The Wine Growers.
Hello.
We're here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine. And we've been doing this for about 3 months now.
It's amazing.
4 months?
Yeah. Having a lot of fun.
A good quarter.
Sharing stories about wine and people, food.
Yeah. Cocktails.
And did you hear a little fun fact? We've gone global.
I did hear that.
You heard it here first.
I heard it. Where did I hear that? Yeah, I heard it from a trusted source.
Yeah. So we've had listeners tuning in and downloading the podcast, I think from Canada and France and Spain, which is pretty cool.
Does that mean we're going to have to start translating?
Yes. Bonjour.
I can try
Comment
try
allez-vous?
For the French part. The French part could be my relatives. I don't know. I don't know how they found out, but
I kind of love that. I don't understand why we don't have more listeners in South Dakota and Iowa, because I should be doing my part with my family as well. So in Nebraska, really.
Okay, well, we might need, that's the 2024 goals.
I will talk to them all next time I see them.
So all these episodes have been saved. So yeah. we do them live, and then we also save them as podcasts so that they can be shared, they can be listened to whenever. So how do people find them?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, SonomaWineGrape.org, and up at the top there's a tab labeled The Good Stuff, and not only can you get all of our episodes of this show, but all of your amazing writing and storytelling, Virginie, that you do every week for us on the blog The Good Stuff.
Don't call it a blog.
I know, what is it? I know, it's that's the best art column.
I know, it's hard to know what
column.
These things are called anymore. Digital storytelling, digital stories. Yeah, so as we wrap up the year,
DST, digital storytelling.
Yep.
On your weekly DST. Okay, got it.
Trademark that.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking towards the end of the year. Certainly, I think, a great year, 2023, for Sonoma County.
It was. Fantastic harvest.
Lots of rain. Got out of the drought.
Yeah.
A lot of important partnerships.
And hopefully a couple new ones for this year that we're going to get to announce coming up. Year coming up.
Okay, but do you want to recap some of the partnerships this year?
Oh, was that a tee up? Oh my gosh, did I miss it? So up in the batter box, do you like that reference?
I do.
So we had a great new partnership with the San Francisco Giants, the Houston Rockets. So really looking at how we bring wine to a whole new set of consumers, which I think is super exciting in places that they may not typically think about drinking wine. So love those partnerships and more on both of those, and some really exciting stuff coming up with the Houston Rockets in terms of winemaker dinners at Toyota Center and events in Houston with Sonoma County Wine, our Sonoma County Wine partners. And then we did something really fun too, which doesn't get as much attention as sports, obviously, but we have a great 5-year partnership with Wilbur Ellis, which is really focused on 7 pilot farmers and ranches around the county. In fact, both of our guests have ties to these pilot farmers today, but around the county, focused on how we really increase organic soil matter, mm-hmm. how we increase the holding capacity for water in our soils, and really what I would call regenerative farming and agriculture. I know there's really not a specific, you know, legal definition for regenerative farming right now, but really looking at how our farmers continue to regenerate the soils that are so important to what they do and their families and their livelihood. So we're really excited about that partnership too.
Well, you mentioned our guests. Maybe could Slightly. You be a little more specific?
I know. So I'm super excited. So in studio today, we have two very important people in my life. My mother-in-law, otherwise known
That's
as
bold.
part of the moms with my mom, but Gail Dutton. So Steve and Joe Dutton's mom. And then a dear friend of the family and a dear friend of mine, Mel Sanchetti. So And we're going to get to hear lots about both of their history, because they're so important and such an important part of kind of the DNA of Sonoma County ag and farming, and also great friends. And so it's going to be nice to kind of hear how that friendship started.
And absolutely represent what Sonoma County does so well, which is multi-generational farming, sort of.
Yes.
I think we go back, 5 generations with Dutton now?
We do.
3 or 4 with our other guests.
We might be on the 4th. The 5th, if we call it the youngins. Yeah, we're getting some shaking heads.
Impressive. Yeah, no, very important part of the Sonoma County DNA. A lot of what we love talking about here as well.
Yep.
So when we get back, we will delve a little bit more deeply into their stories, ask them lots of questions, get to the heart of their friendship, all about farming in Sonoma County.
Sounds good.
The good stuff today with our guests. Who are they?
Our VIPs.
Our VIP friend, guests.
Family.
Right.
All the above.
Right.
So super excited to have Gail Dutton and Mel Sanchetti on the show today. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Hello. Great. Good to have you here. So we should just start.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, first of all, congratulations on yet another harvest in the books.
Thank you.
A great harvest. I know a long harvest.
It worked out. Yeah,
a stressful harvest, perhaps.
It's a good year.
Okay.
Yes.
We haven't mentioned best vintage ever yet.
Right. So, best vintage. Yes, that's right.
Which arguably,
it's actually
the fruit quality was off the charts.
Mm-hmm. It was a good year.
Very good year.
Good growing year, and we're maybe back to normal, maybe.
Hopefully.
Well,
yes.
So I'm just going to jump in and ask Mel a quick question. What harvest is this for you?
Wow.
I didn't mean to start with a hard one.
this will be my 57th year of actually farming and working. And I've always had wine grapes, and I've always had pears, prunes, apples, all of the above. So 57 years. Yeah, it was been
that's,
a long, long,
that's a lot
long
of
life.
Experience.
Yeah.
That's a lot of experience.
Well, I'm 75 years old, so I probably sound like a little kid, but I'm 75 years old.
Farming keeps you young, is what
I've
heard.
Well, my voice, yeah. Whatever.
Gail, for you?
For me, let's see, since I'm almost 80 and we started farming at 19.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It's been a while. 60 plus years. Yeah.
Now, Gail, since I don't know the answer to this, did you grow up in Sonoma County?
Yes.
Okay.
As my parents and my grandmother did. Yes.
Okay, so you yourself on your side of the family are three generations.
Maybe
you
four.
Are third. Okay, or maybe, all right.
Yeah.
And what sort of farming did your family do?
We were not farmers. Okay. My grandfather had some, he had a vineyard and prunes, but he did other things, and my father was a painting contractor.
Okay.
Yeah, so farming on the Dutton side.
The farming was on the Dutton side.
So maybe we should just jump in. I mean, Gail, you kind of kicked us off. So tell us a little bit about your history and how you met Warren, your husband, and how you got into farming.
Well, let's see. Warren and I were high school sweethearts, and we got married at 19. My father had probably a half an acre behind our house, and Warren planted that to barley and made $1,000. So back in 1963, that was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sold my car back to my father for $350, and we got married. And so he always wanted to farm, and his father had a prune orchard, and he worked at that. And so I did marry a prune farmer. And then we bought the acreage out in Grayton and moved out there in 64. And the house was falling into the creek, but there was land there he liked. And it did have a small vineyard on it. But that didn't do very much for us. And he leased a lot of different orchards. He would find an orchard that was run down, knock on the door, ask if he could take care of the fruit for the fruit. And that is one of the ways that Warren met Mel Sanchetti. He was farming a place on Occidental Road, Mrs. Pastorini.
Pastorino.
Yeah. And he ran out of gas, and he walked to the farm next to him, which was happened to be the Sanchetti farm, and met Mel's father, Gus, and then he met Melvin, Mel, and he came home that day, and he was so excited that he met some young person, because we would go to the Farm Bureau meetings and stuff like that, and everybody was so old when we were 20. I mean,
everyone seemed really old.
Really yeah. old. And so he was so excited, and Warren and Mel became best friends right off the bat, and
yeah, we stayed friends
right to the end.
Ever since, Mel
still takes care of me and has stepped in, up to the plate with Stephen and Joe. He's been a great mentor for both of them. So our family, and then when he had Mark, I don't know, my youngest son Joe has kind of always taken him under his wing. And so, yeah, we're very close. And we've done a lot together.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun together over
the years.
Our two children, Joe and Stephen, are the same age as my daughters, Lori and Angie. And they all just like grew up together. And then we had Mark a little later.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to be 40. And our little boy is going to be 40.
Which is hard for me to believe.
I guess this little boy seeing this on radio. I don't know if he likes it. Whatever.
The information's probably out there.
Yeah. Steven's going to be 57 in January.
I know.
And we've been friends all these years, and we've enjoyed our lives together. And it's just been really I'm getting sentimental. But the farming part, it's always been very important to everything we've always done, and pretty cool.
Well, Mel, start and tell a little bit more about your history, because you actually have some great handprints.
Well, I do, yeah.
Out at the ranch.
We do.
And I know that's a huge part of kind of the history, and it's... So take us kind of to your farming background and your family.
It's, a typical probably type Italian family. My grandfather came over here, turn of the century, and grandmother worked in San Francisco. My grandfather was a brick mason, and my grandmother rolled cigars, made enough money...
I don't know if that's typical, rolling cigars.
Well, yeah, that was 120 big, years ago, I guess it was.
Yeah.
It
was.
That was a big thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Huge
respect for that.
I guess something new.
Probably it was a little spot. I mean, Corbell used to make cigars and sold them in San Francisco 100 years ago. But they saved enough money to come up to buy the ranch that I own today that I bought for my father. And it's over 100 years ago. They bought it in 1919 and had prunes, pears, chickens and walnuts on the ranch. Had grapes originally, but Depression, Prohibition,
grapes go
they
away.
Sold some of the land off. He and his brother sold some of the land off to survive, so naturally they pulled those grapes out right away. Brought my father over from Italy when he was 15.
Oh, wow, 15.
Because he couldn't make the trip when he was a young baby, took him 15 years to gather enough to bring him over. And so we just fast forward. I have two brothers and a sister, and no one was ever interested in ranching but me. So I bought the ranch from my father in '84, and so we just kept it going. I've had French prunes. Warren and I both farm French prunes.
We dried them, and we both had walnuts, and you dried the walnuts.
We dried the walnuts, and it was always it was so cool the way we did things. And it's not corny; it's just that we had a walnut dehydrator. My dad and Warren were really good friends too. I think my dad liked Warren more than me, but we would my dad would dry the walnuts. I think he even helped pick them because Gail needed to sell them at her fruit stand.
Yep.
My dad cleaned them. He had this machine to clean the walnuts, and we dried them right in our dehydrator. And then I used to bring the prunes over to Warren, and he had a prune dehydrator, and he dried them, and then I'd sell them. And, it's complicated, but it's not. And we did all these things all these years, and I don't know if money ever transferred. We just did them.
Yeah. Just a handshake, even if I don't even think it was a handshake. You guys just decided to do that.
So Mel, this young kid, Warren Dutton, shows up at your ranch, and your dad's like, there's this kid here named Warren. So how did that work?
Well, you know,
how did you become friends?
I wasn't even home that day, and it was a Sunday, and he just rented this ranch, and I knew this young guy was going to run this ranch. I wasn't married yet. This would have been in the wintertime, right out of high school, although I did get married at 18 a few months later, but
yes.
Nice young man, and so then I met Warren, and
so your dad's like, you need to meet this guy.
Yeah, my dad says, you got to meet this guy. So we instantly start, and then Warren was really helpful when I started farming. You know, my dad never farmed off our ranch, and I started leasing some property and renting some of my dad's machinery, doing this, doing that, whatever it took to make a buck, I did it, and Warren mentored me a little bit at the beginning, and
we were all trying to do something to make a buck.
Just to make a buck. It was things were lean in those days.
Very lean.
And
sold wood.
We did anything, but it was fun. And then in later years too, I was always. I remember in 1979, I had an opportunity to start farming Corbell Winery's vineyards for them, all of the vineyards. So we contracted the job. And I still remember Warren and I, we sat down at the dinner table one night, and we just, because we talked on the phone with the landline phones in those years.
Yeah.
And it'd be an evening conversation because we didn't talk during the day. But we had breakfast, we had lunch, we had coffee, we did all those things. But so we sat down and we laid out a little bit of a budget, and I was way more conservative than Warren was, but we laid out a budget, what machinery I would need and what to do, and I had to borrow some more money and all this kind of stuff and figured it out, you know, and if I would have listened to Warren, I would have probably borrowed about four times the amount of money I needed, but we figured it all out. We took this job. I took the Corbell. It was a big deal. It like, you know, it was in those early years, it was a big deal for me to expand that big. So
well, that's kind of the beginning of vineyard management, which is now a really important role in Sonoma County to be able to keep our farms.
I mean, 45 years, that wasn't such a thing. Everybody did their own thing, and to the life of me, even today, and I'm older, but I still have my hands in it. I still like what I'm doing, helping my son. But you know, we have roughly the same amount of farmland in Sebastopol as we did, you know, 30 40 50 60 years ago. But I don't know why in the world everybody needs all these tractors and trucks and all this stuff that we have. But we
used to
do
it
a lot less.
They like them.
Tractors are fun.
Yeah. Well, that
for sure.
Yeah, the Dutton boys certainly love machinery.
Well, they love machine. They just love
that, it. Did that was Warren like that as
well? Oh yes.
Yeah. So it's sort of in the DNA.
It is.
It was
very
much
so.
Was,
yes.
You know,
yes. But had to have this certain tractor because we would make so much money with it.
Well,
all the time.
Sometimes that might have happened.
Sometimes,
right?
Yes.
But it was good. But you know, in early years, you know, in farming, gosh, we farmed, and I know the younger generation, we farmed French prunes in Sonoma County, and it was regulated by the federal. There was a 33 1/3% set aside for French prunes because you couldn't sell. They were over abundance. Mm. So the state bought them, turned them into cow feed, and we got a very small stipend.
Sure.
I mean, can you wildly imagine? And we were making no money in the first place with French prunes. So the end of the year, we would just, oh, wow. If we paid our bills, we were happy,
all
I guess.
All we wanted to do was pay the bills.
But you had these prunes, you had these ranches, we owned some prunes. I picked
prunes. Gail where Cottingtown is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a prune orchard.
French prune prune?
No, French prunes.
No, French prunes. Okay. We had French prunes. Yeah. We had some imperial prunes, but French prunes were that.
Okay, that was the...
Today you actually call them plums, but they're prunes.
Yes, we can't call them prunes anymore.
Oh, really? Okay. No.
Yeah.
Unless they come from the region of France?
No,
it's not
no,
that.
No, prunes
it's just
have...
A,
they have a bad rap, I guess.
Right, yeah.
It's a marketing.
It's their reputation.
It's a marketing. I mean, they didn't have a very important... Growers Association, clearly.
Right?
No.
There was a prune bargaining association.
Oh.
You know, I'm talking 50 years ago.
Wow.
And, but it was a voluntarily thing that you belong to. And Warren and I didn't belong to it because we sold our stuff independently. We needed to we needed to make money. We couldn't hold on to stuff. We needed to move.
They talked about you two, I'm sure.
At the prune meetings.
At the prune meetings, I even had someone ask me when I was a young man, you know, does your dad know what you're doing?
And
I said, well, my dad doesn't pay my bills.
So there
I showed him, yeah. My dad didn't like that, but anyhow, we had Bartlett pears. We had Bartlett pears we couldn't sell, and and Warren Gail sold them at a fruit stand. And
I started the fruit stand was with the pears.
So I think we need to talk all about that. I know we have to jump into a break here, but I think just that transition into wine grapes, because clearly prunes weren't cutting it, so into wine grapes and then hearing about the farm stand when we come back.
Can't wait. On the good stuff, talking about farming in Sonoma County with Gail Dutton and Mal Sanchetti. And when we left, we were talking about prunes, French prunes, specifically French prunes.
Otherwise now known as plums.
Right. Also known as better known as plums.
There you go.
But Gail, we wanted a little bit more about the fruit stand, because the fruit stand that you operated, I mean, it shows, one, there's a lot of ways that you have to just work hard in agriculture.
Scrappy.
Always true. You have to be entrepreneurial, which it sounds like you were. So tell us a little more how you made that work.
Well, he had leased a pear orchard, and we couldn't sell the pears. Well, we could for hardly anything, but they were beautiful. And there was a part of the Press Democrat called the Fruit Basket. So I put an ad in the fruit basket.
I love it.
And to sell a 40-pound box for $4. And he had a tool, what would you call that mill? The little, where I had my fruit stand. But before, he had a track layer in there, and it was a bench with all his tools, and it was a dirt floor.
Oh, yeah.
And I brought them over.
Farm shop.
Yeah, just a shop. Mm-hmm. And I brought them over there, the 10 boxes. And I sold them all, and I was so excited, because we were getting 3 cents a pound for the pears, and this was 10 cents. So this was a big deal. And so I said to Warren, well, what if I brought some apples over? I'm going to try that. And so that's how the fruit stand started, with the apples and the pears. And then we were drying prunes, so I sold a lot of prunes. Especially most of my customers were from Oakmont. And then, you know, we started getting into, well, I started doing these gift boxes with dried fruit. Mm-hmm. And I would go over to Stockton area and get peaches, bring apples over, get the peaches, sell the peaches. But on the way, I found this Asian guy that dried pears and peaches, bring him prunes, bring the other stuff home, package it, sold it.
Incredibly entrepreneurial.
I know.
Well,
she's like the original Harry and David.
I am, of gift baskets.
Yeah,
I did do a gift baskets and boxes, and then David Finucci had his bees in our orchards and fields, and so I would buy 5-gallon buckets from him. And Stephen and Joe had, Warren had this thing made for me where it would melt the honey, so with a little spout, and they would fill the honey jars. And then I bought jams and jellies and put my label on them. One thing led to another, and I did that for 17 years.
Oh my gosh.
So I put food on the table while Warren was out leasing or buying more land and planting vineyards. And I and everybody else thought he was crazy. I could sell the apples, but there were years we could not hardly sell those grapes at all.
So you made the whole vineyard, you know, enterprise possible, it sounds like, in many ways by...
I didn't realize it at the time, but when I look back, yes. You know, we were partners all the way. I mean...
Of course.
Always, always.
But sometimes, yeah, if something else is going to take a little while or you're really building something, you've got to have something else that people want. And it sounds like you learned early on direct-to-consumer was a good business model.
Yes, yeah.
So when did the grapes come into sort of likability and expansion? Mel, Gail, either, I mean...
Well,
when did it start
we planted the first Chardonnay in 1967, the year that Stephen was born. And I think about 3 or 4 years later.
Yeah, I'd say the early 70s.
Early 70s.
When Rodney Strong started the...
Yeah.
You know, the...
All that. Were you planting grapes then?
Well, a little bit at a time, but I had these leases and I owned some property and I had long-term, like we do in grapes today, got long-term leases and I had these long-term, Warren was smarter than I am, got out of the prunes quicker and pears. But you remember we were in Hawaii and we were Roy's restaurant, Roy's is still very popular today.
Yes.
Roy's first restaurant, and I think it wasn't Oahu, it was in Maui, I think. Do you remember? Do you remember what I'm talking about? I don't think it was just the four of us there.
And okay,
we went to
I do remember going there. I remember
Roy's,
that.
And this guy, the actual Roy's, I don't think he owns it anymore. He sold it, but very popular man, wanted to meet Warren because there was Dutton Ranch Kistler. Like you have the bottle here today. He was brought in. Kistler, Dutton Ranch Kistler Vineyards was on his menu, and he wanted to meet Warren because he wanted to meet you guys.
Uh-huh.
He comes over and talks to him about that. And I remember after that, and Warren and I talking, and I said, wow, you know, this is really, I think you've derived, Warren. Because we were pretty humble.
Yeah.
Very humble.
We were still drinking cocktails when we went out. So then we had to learn on it.
I had to learn how to drink Chardonnay.
Wine
I didn't like wine at all.
We
incredible.
Warren and I, you know, all of us. But it was pretty interesting. That was very, I remember that. I remember, wow, this guy's coming over, he's talking to him. And Warren, you know, he would have been a great politician because he could...
He could talk the talk. Yeah.
He could talk, you know, if we were at a bar someplace and he was all of a sudden born from Brownsville, Texas, and he had this slang, and he could talk to anybody and do anything. But I can remember that. That's really...
Warren was a lot of fun. He was a lot of fun,
Remember, we right at the beginning, got Warren, he talked me into... I remember planting grapes across the street from my house.
He talked me into a lot of things.
We planted,
including getting married at 19.
We planted sticks. You know, it was Warren's idea. And grape sticks, they weren't grafted. They weren't resistant to anything. And they grew. And they grew really good. And we planted a lot of French Columbard, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
You know, in the younger generation.
Yeah.
Wow. But... those are humble. That right, I'd say that. But we would do drives. You know, I have an extensive wine collection that I started when we were young, and we really didn't know why we were doing it.
We just started,
and kids were little, and we went on the Sterling tram that went up there, and it was brand new, and it was just retro now to be used again. And I don't know why we even did that. I don't, you know. But
trying it out.
Yeah.
So how did it feel to see your... Because now Mel Sanchetti's also on bottles of wine now, Vineyard Designate. So how did it feel to see your family name? I mean, not a lot of agriculture actually ends up with a family name on the product.
Right.
Well, it was... I have two girls, and they didn't seem to be interested in farming, which I could understand, in the ranch and things. But, later, there's quite a bit of difference between ages and my... Well, Mark's 40 and Angie's 55, but there was no pressure for him to be a farmer. He was very close to the Dutton boys, very close to Joe, and very close to Warren as a young man. He spent as much time over there at your house and hanging out with Warren. And I could tell he always wanted to be a farmer, but I didn't want any pressure. I wanted him to go to school. I wanted him to go to college. He had to graduate from college. These were all how to do these things. And he did all those things, but he wanted to come home and start farming. He was in college, his last year in college, and he planted a vineyard for, that he made a long-term lease with Joan Steve's help, told him how to do it, with James Hall, Patson Hall. Yeah. That was his first big endeavor in getting out there and planted this vineyard. Got a long-term lease with these people in Sebastopol, generational families, and didn't talk him into it, but it was a great way to start his little career. You know, he just took off. So it's his name on those bottles of wine, not mine. So it's pretty
sounds
neat.
Like you're pretty proud, though.
Oh, I'm proud. It's really great. I just never, you know, as long as I just had a stack them high and let it fly philosophy when I was young and growing up, and my career took a little turn too, you know, and I was Corbell Winery got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then we ended up doing all of their work and with those new wineries and new endeavors, and actually went to work for them for a little bit. It's been pretty cool. It's pretty cool to watch these young people, because I'm extremely close to Stephen and Joe, and watched them grow up.
Now Jake,
and now Jake in. Dutton, the grand, their Stephen's
my grandson,
son, who's
farming
right in there, and I'm his godfather, and I'm so proud of that. And his twin sister, and Joe's three girls.
Gosh! Well, let's take a quick break, because I love all of this, and then we'll come back and wrap it up with Gail and Mel. Welcome back to The Good Stuff. Our guests today are Mel Sanchetti and Gail Dutton, extended family and family to me. So excited to have them both in studio today. And just before the break, we were talking a little bit about the next generation. So we've talked a lot about your own kids, but now grandkids coming into the ranch and business. And what's that like? I'm looking right at Gail. Because you're going to talk about my stepkids. So.
Yes. I mean, they're pretty awesome. Well, my youngest son, Joe, has three girls, and Kylie, she works at the winery as an assistant winemaker, and Kendall, his oldest daughter, she is the bookkeeper there. At Dutton Estates. Yep. And then their youngest daughter, Carmen, she's in Austin, Texas right now getting her master's, and she is going to become an accountant.
Yeah.
So we can really use her later on. Hopefully she'll come back to the ranch. I told her, do not fall in love with the Texas guy. No cowboys. So
unless they want to ride west.
Right. Great cowboys.
Yes. So anyway, and then Stephen has twins, Jake and Jordan, and they both work on the ranch. Jake is more or less in charge of the equipment and the men, like Joe. Joe runs all of that, and Jay kind of works under his Uncle Joe. And then Jordan, she's the office manager. She takes care of Stephen and everybody else. She's fluent in Spanish, writes it. She got her master's at Davis.
Her undergrad at Davis, and she went to Sonoma State, for her master's?
Yes. Yeah. So, she's a very bright young woman, and we all really depend upon her. She's just great. Anyway, that's my kids. How about Mel? And I have to say that Mel's daughter, Lori, she does a lot of our catering at the ranch, and she's fantastic.
She is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, you need food to go with all this wine.
Oh,
you
do.
Thank goodness. Thank you, Lori.
My
youngest daughter,
skills.
Lori, she's got her own little business, a little catering business, and she just works for a select few, and she's, I know, very personal friends with
Chris
and Stephen. They've all stayed really close.
All of these.
My oldest daughter, Angela, she actually lives on the ranch, and she has a nice job there at Garten Tractor. Yeah. Not involved with farming, but... Lori, they have a little vineyard, you know, on their property. Mark, my son, obviously he's farming. But my grandchildren, I have the oldest granddaughter who's, going to be 27. She's an esthetician, does eyes and makeup and all that. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, Gianna Bianchi, we're all married Italians here. We're She just graduated from Cal Poly, and she is working at Sonoma-Cutrer.
Yeah. Okay.
So starting her little career here. So finding her out where she's at. And my youngest granddaughter, Sophia, works
has the best job ever. Best job. At Sonoma County Wine Growers. Wine Growers, come on.
Yeah. So she's, she just loves Carissa. And I hope you guys all, she is a nice little girl.
Then
I have two little grandsons, 10 and 12, and
Mason and Merritt.
Mason and Merritt, they love the dirt. They look like their dad. They're all redheads. My son's a redhead. They're little redheads. And live close to the ranch. He's built a house close to the home ranch. And so it's, you know, I'm like living the good life there. When we pour some concrete, everybody gets their hands in there. And my grandfather has his hands on some concrete that's over 100 years old on the ranch. And there's no birthright. You know how to buy the ranch. And it's
that's how it's going to go.
That's how it's going to go. And as an older man now, I'm just like living the good life, because Warren and I, we used to meet for coffee early in the morning. And it was, I don't know, people made fun of us.
A married couple.
But, you know, we'd have coffee wherever. Let's go Occidental. You know, we'd go out to, when that was new. I knew where the little newspaper stand was, and I'd buy a PD. I'd buy one. For a quarter. Could have got two, but I'd just get one.
We were shared honest. It. You shared everything.
Or he'd buy it.
Yes.
And we'd share a newspaper. So we'd have coffee and or breakfast.
They
and
were
sometime,
like a married couple.
This is very cute.
Sometimes we wouldn't even talk sometimes. If there's something interesting in the paper, and then he sloughed me over the other piece, and you see this? Because the news was kind of new then. But, and then we get up and we leave and we go. And then
Separate ways.
And sometimes we had a, you know, in the early beginnings, we'd have to bundle our money together to make sure we had enough to buy breakfast.
Well, hold that. We have to take one last quick break, and we'll bring you back in to sign off for today.
So we will.
We'll be right back.
God, I forgot about it.
We are back on the good stuff to wrap it up with our very fun guests, Gail Dutton and Mal Sanchetti. I mean, these stories could go on and on. And
well, now you know why I have so much fun at dinner and holidays with my family.
I know. We got to get in on that. So we will have, actually, for the first time ever, some bonus material on the podcast because we're having so much fun, but we have to wrap up our live segment. So. Yep. People will be able to find that on sonomawinegrowers.org, correct?
Yep, sonomawinegrape.org and at KSRO. So you'll get to see photos and hear more of these amazing stories about the Sanchetti and Dutton families on our first bonus edition. So now we should wrap up because we do our good stuff wine.
Right. But do we want to thank our guests for coming?
Well, I was going to just include them in it.
Okay.
Maybe they'll want to drink with us and we can learn more stories over that. So, I mean, it's an obvious choice for our Tuesday night wine, I would think, the Kistler Dutton Ranch Chardonnay.
The wine that you know...
Started it
off. ...was famous in Hawaii. Like, and who
famous
knew?
Hawaii, yes.
Famous in Hawaii. May have turned Mal into a grape farmer. I don't know if that was the moment.
Got them both drinking wine.
Yeah,
so that's a good part for sure.
Yeah, maybe that's what we need to think about that on the marketing of wine and wine grapes from here on out. Okay, yeah, I absolutely agree. Kistler Dutton Ranch has always been such an important wine to Sonoma County, an important part of Dutton history, of course, but also of Kistler history. Two great families, Sanchetti as well. Do you want to talk about how people can find some of your wines or some things that you'd like people to know about?
Oh, I do. You know, he sells a different. Some of his biggest customers are Sonoma-Cutrer and La Crema and Patson Hall Vineyard Designated.
And he farms Shone Farm at the Santa Rosa Junior College, which is really important.
Mark farms out there. They brought that up to 100 acres. It was right out of college. They wanted to hire someone up there to turn the farm around, make it profitable,
and he did that. It's pretty awesome to watch.
Pretty awesome. Did a great job there. So
and Gail, you have Joe's wine is Dutton Estates.
Yes.
Steve's wine is Dutton Goldfield. And then if you go to duttonranch.com, you can see a list of the 90 plus wineries that Dutton sells to.
So that's a lot.
Yeah. Duttonranch.com.
You can't ask me who I've sold to because I can't remember.
That's why I gave the website. I thought I'd make it easy.
Yes,
on you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's a long list. I'm sure also waiting list of people who are very eager to get both of the grapes that you both grow. So amazing Sonoma County families.
Yeah, so stay tuned if you want to get the bonus section on the website and podcast. And thank you, Gail and Mel. And Happy New Year, everyone. So next time we're back in studio, we will be in 2024. Super exciting.
Thanks for joining us on The Good Stuff.
Thank you.
Well, we're back on The Woo! Good Stuff.
This is exciting.
For some a bonus segment. We were having so much fun with our guests, Gail Dutton and Mel Sanchetti, that we decided to add a little bit more time to learn more about their stories. So we talked about Kistler.
Yeah, that was our Tuesday night wine.
Yep, a Kistler Dutton Ranch Chardonnay, the one that was famous in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But we wanted a little bit more on the backstory. I mean, because we've had such great stories from Mel about how he met Warren, but how did Warren meet Steve Kistler?
Well, he drove into the ranch one day in the late 70s, and he talked to Warren. He liked the soil. He liked everything about where we were, and he wanted to partner up with him, and if he would prune the vines the way he wanted them to be pruned. And so he chose several rows.
Wait a minute, a winemaker telling a farmer what to do.
It didn't go over well.
I was just going to ask.
No.
I was like, I can only imagine.
Not the first time.
Or the last time. Or certainly not the last time.
No. And so, and Warren came back to the house and said, this guy drove in. He says, he said that if we do all this, he's going to give us more money for our grapes than anybody else.
The farmer does like that.
Yes. So he did everything. And so, a couple years later, Kistler was well known. And Warren came home one day and with the bottle and says, you're going to have to learn to drink this. And I said, but I don't care for it. And he says, read the back of the label. Our name's on it, so you're going to learn to like it. So
wow.
Anyway, they became...
And now you do like Chardonnay.
I do like Chardonnay.
I was going to say,
yes.
I do like
Kistler Chardonnay. So Steve and Warren were great friends all those years, and his wife, Cassie, she delivered my grandchildren. So, I mean, everything is intertwined here.
It really is. Yeah. Sonoma County, yes, very yes. close.
And now Steve Kistler, his daughter, and Kylie are talking about doing something together, making some wine together. So,
which is lots of fun.
Lots of fun.
Yeah, and it's been awesome because I've heard that version of the story of Warren and Steve Kistler meeting, and then Steve and I... Dutton, your son, and I were out meeting with Steve Kistler, and I asked him his version, and he actually teared up.
He did.
I mean, he doesn't really like to talk a lot, I think is probably a fair. I mean, he's such an incredible winemaker, but he, kind of stays to himself, and we had such a great pleasure of sitting down with him and his daughter, Catherine, and drinking some wine and trying some of the Occidental wines, which is his new project. Uh-huh. But I asked him about meeting Warren, and he just talked about what a profound partnership and incredible.
Yes.
Man, it was so lovely to see
when
that
side Warren passed away, I got a letter from Steve that was 5 pages long. It was this beautiful letter and what their friendship meant to him.
Yeah.
And
that's amazing.
Yeah, they were good friends.
Because my understanding was that Warren not only sold Dutton Ranch grapes to Kistler, but he helped develop a lot of the other vineyards.
He planted all the vineyards, and Stephen and Joe still do a lot of work for Steve.
So it was.
Well, my favorite is when I go wine tasting with Steve, and we go somewhere, and inevitably Warren had them plant the vineyard, help with the vineyard, send equipment over to the vineyard, because Steve will be like, oh yeah, this is another vineyard my dad made us go do something at. Yeah. So I think that's kind of how it goes.
Uh-huh.
But yes. It's pretty fun. So Mel, tell us a little bit more about that transition. So Mark comes to you and says, well, you kind of knew he always wanted to be a farmer, right? He showed interest in it.
Yes, he really did. Growing up, I mean, he was very athletic in school, but I didn't want any pressure to be a, I just want to be a productive citizen, be a taxi cab driver in New York City, just be productive. That's all I wanted him to do. So he had a size, and he wanted to start his own thing. After college, he started his own thing and came home and helped. You know, we help him with the infrastructure at our ranch, and he started his own, and he's really gleaned out some great people that he sells fruit to, and he's developed some property. He's got some long-term leases. He's purchased property, and he's done it on his own. So he's had a pretty good career. And like I say, he's going to turn 40. The little boy's going to turn 40.
I know, it's hard to believe.
So it's, and I guess Jake and Jordy, they're 26, is it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I can't, I don't know where this time went. And Kendall.
Talk about, because when we were on break, you guys were giggling a lot. You're both giggling about some of your trips.
Don't go there.
So I'm not going to go to the one. I'm not going to go there. But I want to know, how did that start that you go on trips together? And where was the first trip?
Well, the
Tulare Farm Show.
Well, Warren and everything.
The Tulare Farm. That was
Tulare. Warren and I are young. Well, we actually went to Colusa. That was before Tulare Farm Show.
But
we
the were, four of us would go to that.
To Tulare, yeah. We used to go to Hawaii just about every year.
Tulare and Hawaii are a little different.
No, but I mean, that was when we...
Tulare where you went when you were growing prunes, and Hawaii was where you got to go because wine grapes...
Well, I had prunes for a long time, but
Tulare, we were all really young.
Yeah, we were a little bit of a low-budget situation at the beginning, Tulare was fun.
We stayed in one motel that I remember the room had just a light bulb in it. Yeah. I mean, because that's all.
Everything
and
no
we
locks
did on the door, probably, yeah.
with Warren was an adventure. I remember Warren loved to fly.
Oh, yes.
And we went to Tulare, and there was a special charter out of Santa Rosa Airport that was little then, raining. I think the plane actually was leaking. Warren wants to get on the plane in Santa Rosa. And then the two of us, just two of us, we flew to San Francisco.
Okay.
Got off the plane and had to wait in San Francisco and got on a plane to go to Fresno. So and these were all flights that didn't happen 50 years ago when Tulare first started.
Yeah, right.
And then we went to Fresno. And then when we get into Fresno, we had to rent a car, you know, and low budget. I still remember like yesterday we rented a Pinto.
Is that the one that they stole your luggage?
Yeah, what a story! But everything Warren did was not Warren. Well, me too. I agreed with him because what the hell he was. Anyhow, we rent this Pinto. I'll never forget this. Here I'm an old man just giggling to myself here right now. But we're going down the freeway from Fresno to Tulare. Is still a pretty good drive.
Yes, yeah.
And you're already two plane flights in.
Took us 2 days to get the damn show that we stayed there for 3 hours, for Christ's sakes. But that was Warren. And we're going down the freeway, and Warren, he's struggling. He's driving, and there was an emergency brake in the middle of the little bucket seats there in this Pinto. Never buy a rental car. And I kept pulling the emergency brake harder and harder. And Warren, he's pushing on the throttle, and this thing is not going. And he's, what the hell's wrong with this car? You know, brakes are smoking. And we were adults, too. But
I know.
And then that night, somebody steals our luggage out of the car, and we had no luggage. And, my God.
The mean streets of Fresno.
But we had everything we did. But we would go to Hawaii. One memorable trip of going to Hawaii was we went over there. Four of us went over first, and then the Stephen and Joe and Lori and Angie,
it's a
great
trip.
The little older kids bring over Mark, and he was little, and they flew over after to meet us.
Yes.
And we, and all of us.
Well, actually, the boys were in their early 20s.
They were in the girls, because they were but they all flew over together on the plane and brought Mark, because Mark was
a little guy,
and brought him over to Hawaii.
We had a great time.
That was
Is this the trip where Joe offered you to buy you a drink?
Yes.
And you were so happy.
Warren and I are walking along the beach after dinner, and it was just beautiful. And Joe and Artie are sitting up at the bar, and Joe goes, come on, Mom and Dad, come on over. Let me buy you this special drink. By this time, Joe wasn't married. He knew the bartender, nice-looking girl, very well. Okay. So she had made this drink for him. And so we drank it, and then we said goodnight, and we as we're going up the elevator, I go, isn't that nice? I mean, our son bought us a drink. This is the first time. And Warren goes, Gail, he's signing our room number to everything.
Joe, Steve taught Mark how to use the room number.
Number two.
But that's, we had some, we had a lot of, we just,
a lot of fun.
All of us had a lot of fun. We really did have fun. All the kids, kind of, they all get along
they
together.
They all get along. Yeah.
It's cool. And it's no better than this.
Still a lot of fun to be had.
A lot of fun to be had. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a fun after the show segment. So thank you so much for staying on with us. Thank you everyone out there for downloading this extra bonus round with Mel Sanchetti and Gail Dutton.
And Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.